In Seattle today, a man called the Green River Killer has finally confessed to murdering 48 women and girls, making him the most prolific serial killer in American history. His name is Gary Ridgway. From Seattle, ABC's Neil Karlinski.
Gary Ridgway killed so many women, it took nearly an hour to read all the charges.
I strangled Cynthia Hines to death. Is that your statement, Mr. Ridgway?
Yes, it is.
Is it true?
Yes.
One at a time, Ridgway admitted killing 48 women, usually dumping their bodies in the Green River near Seattle.
I strangled Opal Mills to death. Dolores L. Williams. I strangled Deborah Estes to death.
Yes.
There were nearly 100 relatives in court. They wept as the prosecutor read Ridgway's written confession.
I killed so many women, I have a hard time keeping them straight. I wanted to kill as many women I thought were prostitutes as I possibly could. Is that true?
Yes.
I picked prostitutes because I thought I could kill as many of them as I wanted without getting caught.
Welcome back to the Rainy Day Horror Show. I'm Big Daddy D, and you're listening to the number one podcast on the internet. And on today's Serial Killer Sunday episode, Dusty is going to be talking about one of the most notorious serial killers in the United States of America. That man, that serial killer, is Gary motherfucking Ridgway, aka the Green River Killer. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce your host for this evening's show, Dusty McBalls, aka the Certified Cougar Hunter, and your host with the most. Now sit back, shut up, and enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Big D, for that beautiful little intro. And yes, like he said, we are talking about the one, the only, Gary Ridgway, a.k.a. the Green River Killer, one of the most notorious serial killers that there is. Now, I'd like to apologize that this episode is coming out so late. I had some things happen today. Just kidding. I didn't have anything happen today. I was really, really lazy, and I didn't feel like recording up until, like, tonight. So, yeah. Sorry. I apologize, okay? And about yesterday's episode, yeah, I have it recorded. I'm just gonna put it out tomorrow night, okay? So, you're welcome, I guess. I don't know, Branch Davidians Part 2 tomorrow, okay? Don't think I forgot, because I didn't, alright? Don't think I was lazy, because I wasn't. Well, maybe a little bit. I was okay, I lied. I was lazy, and I was in a rush, okay? And I didn't have time to go edit through all of it, because I was getting my tattoo, alright? Yes, I have it now. It's on my chest. If you want to see it and see what it looks like, it is so fucking sexy. It's on my Instagram at the Rainy Day Horror Show, right? Also, would like to say, chest doesn't feel that great, alright? Bro, there were parts, so what I got was like a sun and moon intertwined together in the middle of my chest, and it has like sun rays coming off of the sun and the moon. Some of the rays that came off, bro, they're not like close to my nipple, but they're like an inch away. No, probably like a half inch away from my nipple.
Bro, I felt that shit, like, in my titty. That shit felt so fucking weird. And then, like, we're... If you look at it online, you'll see that my 1218 on my chest, well, it's on the upper part of my chest. It's a part of my neck tattoo. But right below that, there's, like, this... A few of these little sun rays that come off. Bro, that spot was the worst. I have never flinched with a tattoo before. And this was the first fucking time that I've ever flinched. And I have my neck done. I have my forearms, my wrists, my hands. And this was the first fucking time that this has ever happened where I've physically flinched. Bro, the chest doesn't feel too good, right? Now, if maybe I was a bigger boy, if I wasn't, you know, 160 pounds, it'd be a different story. Maybe I would have, you know, not have felt it as much. But bro, and brodettes, that shit fucking hurt, okay? Then again, this was like my first tattoo in like 6 months. Usually, I used to have a really good tolerance with tattoos, but that's because I was going in and out of my tattoo shop like every few weeks. I did it for like a year and a half. So, it was, yeah. Going from that to doing it like once or twice a year, it's fucking difficult. But I go again, I go back to get another tattoo to finish off my chest piece because I'm doing the right side. And I go in like a month and a half. And bro, I'm so stoked to see what my artist comes up with. But I'm also so fucking terrified because it's going to hurt. Because we're blacking out the nippies, right? Or while we're going over the nips. Because like, bro, I think it's so weird, okay? No disrespect to anybody that has a full chest piece done. But like when they don't block out the nipples, it makes me uncomfortable. Like, it's just weird. Like, it's tattoo, open white skin or black skin or brown skin, right? It's just open, and to me, it looks fucking weird. Not so much with, like, black people or, like, Hispanics or Asians and stuff like that, or, like, Native Americans. Doesn't really bother me because this is going to sound racist, but it is what it is. It's just your guys' skin tone is darker than white people, so it kind of blends in better with the tattoo. Where with me and other white people, I think it just like stands out and it just looks so fucking weird. And I absolutely fucking hate it. So I'm blacking out the nipples, right? But yeah, no, it was fine. It was okay. Yeah. Go see it on my Instagram. It's dope as fuck. Okay. But now back to the episode. Yeah, this is going to be a long, not really. It's not going to be that long. I lied. So what I'm going to do, because this is weird, okay? This is a weird little break. And what I mean by break is not like as in a break from podcasting, but there's going to be like a weird break in this episode. Because I'm going to go through like childhood, do the whole normal shebang of like growing up and everything like that. But he has so many, killers, well, not killers, so many fucking victims, and his process, like, his serial killer career went over, like, 3 decades, okay? So it is, his whole rap sheet with murder is fucking long. So there's gonna be a 2-part series. I just don't know where I'm gonna cut this video off yet. I don't know if I'm going to cut it off right when it gets into the murders and leave it as like, you know, a little cliffhanger just to piss you guys off. Or if I'm going to do like get into the first murder and then cut it off. I don't know. I'm probably going to piss you guys off and just do his normal like life up until the murders just because I feel like being an asshole. You know, because that's what I am. Jokingly, I'm not really an asshole. If you meet me in real life, I'm actually a pretty nice dude. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. We're taking a drink break. Yes, it is still the Kirkland sparkling mango water. Shit is so good. I got a burp. I know you heard that. That was a good one too. That was a good one. But yeah, we're finna have fun this episode, so, like I said, kick back, relax, Get those Crocs on. We're going to Washington State, not D.C. We are not going there. Well, actually, would I ever go to Washington, D.C.? Probably. Just to see all the monuments and stuff like that, just because I've never been out there. I'm not a huge political guy. If you guys couldn't tell or noticed, but, like, politics ain't my shizzle, right? But I would love to go out there and visit and, I don't know, see the fucking statues and shit. Maybe piss on the White House grass. I don't fucking know. I would go to jail for that, so probably not, but it would be funny if you see local Minnesota man pisses on White House's front lawn, serving 5 years for vandalism. That shit would be so fucking funny. It'd be so fucking funny. But, yeah, we're gonna get into this, so let's have fun. Now, Gary Ridgway was born in Salt Lake City, Utah. His mother, Mary Rita Steinman, and Thomas Noon Ridgway are his parents. I don't know why I said that so weird, but those are his parents. He also had two younger, well, I don't know if they're younger, didn't really specify, but he had two brothers, Gregory Leon Ridgway and Thomas Edward Ridgway. He was raised in the McMicken Heights, that's a weird word, McMicken Heights neighborhood of SeaTac, Washington. Now, Ridgway's home life, growing up, was serial killer-esque, okay? He did have somewhat of a troubled childhood. Relatives have described his mother, Mary, as a domineering woman, and they also have said that young Ridgway would witness more than one violent argument between his parents. Now, as a boy, Ridgway had a bad habit of wetting the bed. His mother would often be the one to discover his accidents and would bathe him immediately after he wet the bed. She sounds like a good mother, right? Up until this point, she sounds like, she's a decent woman, right? She's not. She isn't, because what she would do with when he would wet the bed is she would belittle him and embarrass him in front of his family. And from a very young age, Ridgway also had a conflicted feeling of sexual attraction and anger towards his mother. Yes, people, we have an incestual little fucking family here, right? We do. Kind of like with Ed Gein. He loved his fucking mother. Probably loved fucking his mother, right? I don't know if that's true, okay? That's false advertisement. Don't know if that really happened, but we know that he was down with the business with his mom. If he could have gave it to her, he would have, right? But he didn't. Thankfully, because that would have made a good fucking story. It really, really would have. I would have enjoyed reading that. You know, imagine that. It's the 1900s, right? 1970, 1980. A serial killer is going around murdering people, but he also fucks his mom. Like, local serial killer murdered 15 women, but also has sex with his mom on a weekly basis. That shit would be so fucking funny. I would have loved that. I would have personally went back in time, you know, like the hot tub time machine type deal. I have a hot tub at the house. It's right below my feet, bro. I would go in that sucker, light up a joint, get really, really drunk. Hopefully it like spins around, shoots me back in time to that. Bro, I would just to get the newspaper clipping of that. And then I would come back, mount that bitch, and just, like, that would be my greatest achievement of all time. It'd be so fucking funny. But we're also going to come back to his mom bathing him after a specific part just because it plays into his serial killing career, right? It's like you're like, oh, He just had a weird sexual... No. It wasn't just a weird sexual, like, attraction. Like, look, my mom's sexy. I want to fuck her. No, it wasn't like that. Trust me, it gets darker. It gets really, really dark. Like I said, incestual, I really mean it's incestual, okay? Now, after... Well, as Gary Ridgway was going through school, high school, middle school, and elementary... He was tested at some point as a young child for, well, with an IQ test. And on that IQ test, he scored a very low intelligence rating. I don't know how to word it, but we're going to go with that. And it was 82. And he also performed really, really poor in school. He wasn't a good student, and he... just wasn't his thing, like a lot of us, right? Like me specifically. Don't know how I passed high school, but we fucking did it. Now, as he was growing up, he did, because he wasn't academically smart in school, he eventually did have to repeat a school year twice to attain decent grades to pass. Now, at his high school, his classmates from Thai High School described him as congenial, but he was a largely forgettable person. Now, in his teen years, they were troubled as fuck, okay? And one specific instance that we are going to cover that shows that it was troubled as fuck was when he was 16 years old. Now, when Gary was 16, for some odd fucking reason, he decided to stab a 6-year-old boy, not to death, thankfully, but he did stab him, all right? And the boy did survive. Now, according to my sources of what had happened, he had led the boy into the woods near his house and then stabbed him through the ribs into his liver. Now, according to the victim and Ridgway himself, Ridgway walked away laughing and saying, "I always wondered what it would be like to kill someone." And this is where we are going to get into this weird sexual fantasy with his mom. Now, after he was arrested and convicted, and was questioned on this situation, he would later tell a psychologist that he was interested in stabbing because he was struggling with being sexually attracted to his own mother and wanted to kill her because of it. That was weird. I know you guys heard that whistle. That came from my mouth while I was speaking. That was fucking weird, but... it gets worse than this, okay? It gets a lot worse. He also told this psychologist that he had bedwetting problems up until his early teens, and that he had clear recollections of his mother washing his genitals after he would wet the bed. Step back, all right? I know what you're feeling, because I'm feeling the same thing, okay? Take a step back. Take a breather. Because you know what just popped into my head when I said that? Adam Sandler's song called Medium Pace. All of the old heads that listen to this, I know you're laughing your ass off right now, but like specifically the lyric in that song that just popped into my head was, "Now take that shampoo bottle out of my ass." That is the exact lyric that popped into my fucking head. It's a great song. Okay, for you young people that didn't know that Adam Sandler did comedy music in his early career, And I think, personally, Medium Pace is the best fucking song. You know what? I might play a clip of it right now. Roll the fucking song. Let's hear it.
Honey, rub your beaver up and down my face. Sit on the corner of the bed and watch me whack off. You see that shampoo bottle now? Stick it up my ass. Push it in and out at a medium pace. Talk about your old boyfriend's dick and how big it was. Now shave off my pubes and punch me in the face.
See, I told you, it's a great fucking song. Now add it to the Spotify playlist because I know you're going to want to come back to it later. All right, and I have a little bit of history with that song, real quick. One of my friends, my best fucking friend, Sully, okay, he was, you know, grew up with him. We were on the same hockey team for a while, actually, until I moved towns and stuff like that. He also broke my arm one time. Not intentionally, all right, Sully, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt if you're listening to this. He didn't do it intentionally. I give him shit about it all the time. But what happened was, I think it was when I was in the sixth grade. Yeah, because that's when we first became really good friends, was in the sixth grade. And he and I, well, he loved WWE. I love WWE. And actually, I'm getting back into WWE because it's so much fucking fun to watch. All right. Cody Rhodes finished the fucking story. Perfect. Awesome. Love it. But Sully spent the night at my house one time. I think it was around like spring. Yeah, it was spring because we just... Was it spring? No, it wasn't spring. It wasn't spring. It was more towards the summer. Yeah, no. Okay, I lied. I think it was around... Okay, fuck. We will say spring/summer because I was about to start baseball, right? Now, as... what we were doing was, it was the next morning. He spent the night on a Saturday and stayed and left on Sunday. It was Sunday morning, and we were playing knee hockey. For people that don't know what it is, it's like hockey, but it's in the house on carpet, and you play on your knees, okay? It sounds really, really perverse, but it's not. No, it's not like what you're thinking, all right? Keep those perverted jokes to yourself, you fucking weirdos. But we were fucking playing knee hockey, and then... For some reason, I think I had like Raw taped or something. Or no, it was SmackDown taped from the night, two nights before on Friday. And it was playing while we were playing knee hockey. And for some reason, Sully wanted to fucking wrestle me. Thought he could take me, right? And he did. Not gonna lie, he did. And I fell into a coffee table and broke my arm. Yeah, I have brittle bones. Fuck you guys, all right? I broke my right arm twice and my left arm once. My right arm was really, really bad because the second time I broke it because they had a fucking like, no, or was it my left? Which one was it? No, he broke my left, okay? But I broke my right arm twice. Yeah, and I broke my right arm really, really bad one time. And they had to like push it back in and mold it with the cast. Yeah, it was weird. It was really, really weird. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. I completely forgot. We got so off track. So we're gonna jump back into Gary Ridgway having a weird incestual relationship with his parents. All right, now, well, not with his parents, with his mom. Now, some experts do believe that this may have been part of a larger pattern of inappropriate behavior on the part of Ridgway's mother, and while she was ultimately spared from the killing spree that Ridgway would go out and commit. Well, not really a killing spree, because I forgot. I think a killing spree is like within a rapid succession of days. This took over 20 years. But when he started his... The reason why some people believe that she was spared from his serial killer lifestyle was because that his crimes may have amounted to a case of displaced matricide, and that he was unconsciously killing his mother over and over again. Now, I've never heard this term, so I'm going to break it down for you guys. Displaced matricide is basically a person or persons because I would assume that maybe brother and maybe two brothers want to go out and murder people that look like their mom. But anyways, I won't put that past anybody, but like, I don't think that's ever happened. So this, wait, what's the word again? Displaced matricide. There we go. Fuck. We're getting so off track. Off topic today. Okay. Displaced matricide for easier terms, because it took me like 6 minutes to figure out what the hard definition meant, but it means there's a desire to kill their mother that becomes targeted on victims that they that resemble her. So basically a dude that goes out, or a dudette that goes out and kills people that remind them of their family member. And that's what a lot of these experts on Ridgeway's case believe. Now, despite attacking the young boy, Ridgeway was never arrested for the crime. After this event, Ridgeway put up a front, well, a normal front, but secretly began stalking women in his neighborhood who had previously rejected him. Now, Ridgeway graduated high school in 1967-68-ish, because of the year, the school year that he had to retake. Now, after he graduated high school, he went on and joined the United States, not Army, Navy, okay? And after he graduated from Navy boot camp, he then married his high school girlfriend, Claudia Barrows, and was sent to Vietnam. He went to Nam, people. Back in my time in Nam. Just kidding. It's funny. Just kidding. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry. Okay. Where he served on board a supply ship and he saw combat. Now, during his time in the military, Ridgeway began spending a lot of time with prostitutes. And even eventually caught the gonorrhea. Okay. And this angered him. This angered him really, really bad that he got the gonorrhea. But it didn't stop him. The big G didn't stop him from having sex. Okay. And to make matters even worse, he wasn't using rubbers. He wasn't using the Trojans. He wasn't using the Durex, right? He was raw dogging bitches left and right. Prostitute here, prostitute there. Cue the fucking Full Metal Jacket $5 sucky sucky scene. Okay, that scene is fucking hilarious. All right, that movie, impeccable. But yeah, this dude was out there wiling out in the streets. And while he was out in Vietnam fucking around, his wife Claudia, who was alone and 19 at the time of this situation of him fucking around, she also started to fuck around. And she was fucking around. And she was finding out. And because she was finding out other dudes that she was attracted to, their marriage quickly ended within a year. But this wouldn't be Ridgeway's first marriage, okay? Because after he came back and got out of the military, right, did his normal years, he ended up settling down in Seattle, where he got a job painting semi-trucks. I don't think it was semi-trucks. Because I saw multiple sources say semi-trucks and then just normal trucks. So we'll say semi-trucks / normal pickup trucks. And he held this job for about 3 decades. This was his cover for him murdering people. And the first marriage after it ended with Barrows was to Marcia Winslow in 1973, with whom he had his first son with. First and only, I believe. And then after that marriage fizzled out, he then married Judith Mawson in 1988. Now, during his second marriage to Marcy Winslow, Ridgway became somewhat of a religious fanatic. He would go door to door and just read the Bible to his neighbors. Oh, fuck. Got another one. We got another one. Another Christian serial killer. Not only that, he was also born in Salt Lake City, Utah, okay? Listen, people, I don't make this shit up. This shit writes itself, right? Another one. DJ Khaled. Another one. Add it to the list. Bro, I don't even know how many, like, serial killers that we've had on this channel that weren't fucking Christian. It has to be a couple, okay? I don't think fucking Ed Kemper came from a Christian family. Can't really remember. But, like, why? I still have to get that answer. Why are most Christians serial fucking killers? Right? I shouldn't say most Christians, but, like, why do a lot of serial killers that come out as serial killers, why are they Christians? Like, we can't have one that's just a fucking atheist. Or, I don't know, a Buddhist. Or that's like, I don't know, reads the Quran or something like that. Like, come on. What's going on? We are such a melting pot in the U.S. for just fucking religion alone. Like, I don't fucking know. Now, according to Winslow, while he was going on his religious stint, there was this drastic shift that startled her, and it got even worse when Ridgway insisted that she follow the strict teachings of their church. However, Winslow claimed that the worst part of their marriage was not the religious fantasism, or even the sex Ridgway demanded from the multiple times. Let me rewind. I'm getting too excited and ahead of myself. Demanded from her multiple times a day, but the role that Ridgway's mother played in their relationship. Yeah, she's back. Mary's fucking back. She's ready to fuck everything up and suck her son off. Now, according to Winslow, Ridgway's mother had the last say in their relationship, even going so far as to control the couple's finances. But, like I said, this was the second marriage of Ridgway's life, and because of the religious fantasisms and all the sex that he wanted, and his mother being so heavily involved, they would eventually divorce once again, and they would divorce, and their marriage only lasted roughly 8 years. Now, despite having a family and a newfound relationship with religion, Ridgway started having encounters with the law, during which he actually got arrested for allegedly choking a sex worker and for solicitation while living in Seattle. And as the years went on, his crimes would escalate from there. Now, it is widely believed that he first began his killing spree in 1982, okay? But I got to backtrack a little bit to give, you know, more of a rundown of what his family thought of him and his situation with Winslow, okay? Friends and family that got questioned about Ridgway after his arrest described him as friendly but strange. His first two marriages resulted in divorce because of infidelities by both partners. His second wife, Marcia Winslow, claimed that he had placed her in a chokehold and was abusive to her. Ridgway also had become fanatically religious, like we already know, in his second marriage, going door to door, doing Bible works, and insisting that Marcia follow the strict teachings of the church pastor. Ridgway would also frequently cry after sermons or reading the Bible. Okay, now this is an honest question. For my Christian people, okay, yes, I know I just reiterated some of it, but I had to remake it flow back into this, all right? So leave me the fuck alone, okay? I know it was weird. Christians, is this a thing? Like, do you genuinely cry during sermons and after Bible readings? Like, I mean, it's cool if you do. I don't really, okay, I mean, it's a little fucking weird, right? It's a little fucking weird. Kind of is. Unless, you know, maybe had a huge impact on your life, right? Like, let's say you were so fucking poor and ready to just off yourself, and then you found the fucking Lord. You looked up and you're like, Jesus, take me. God, I'm here for you. Take me. Paint me like one of your French women. I'm here, Poppy, right? Understandable. But then again, I don't know a whole lot of people that, like, I know Christian folks, okay? And yes, Christian people, I do make fun of you a lot, all right? I'm just joking around, okay? I don't want you to think that I hate you. I don't. I just have my own issues with religion. And it's not just Christianity, it's just all religion, okay? There's just certain things that don't make sense about it. And things that I just really don't like. Like, I've had issues where I've come across people that were, you know, hardcore Christians. And they told me I was not going to make it into heaven because of my tattoos. Okay? It's shit like that that makes me not like you guys. But I will say, a lot of you are extremely nice. And if I say, hey, I don't like that you're pushing Christianity and your religion onto me, a lot of you don't get embarrassed and, like, try to belittle me. I've only had that happen. Well, I've had it happen quite a few times, but I've had people be like, okay, cool, no worries, okay? I've had that happen more than being belittled, all right? So I'm just joking around. I just feel like making fun of you guys because it's, frankly, quite fucking easy. It really is. Hey, I'm a bully, okay? You don't gotta tell me that. I already fucking know. Alright? I already fucking know. But, like, genuinely, do people actually, like, cry? And, like, I don't know, leak water from their eye sockets when it, like, during sermons and Bible readings? I know you just gave me an answer, but, like, you're talking to me through a fucking stereo and I can't hear you. Okay, so I'm just going to assume that you said yes. I have seen this happen before, Dusty. Okay, so I don't know. Now we're rolling on. Okay, now let me rewind. Now, even though he was crying and being this religious fanatic, Ridgway still continued to solicit the services of the toots, the prostitutes, during all three of his marriages. And to get even, like, to make matters even worse, when he was in these marriages, specifically the last two, right? Marcia and all the other prostitutes and his second wife and his third wife, he wanted them to participate in sexual intercourse in public and other inappropriate places, sometimes even in areas where his victims' bodies have been found, discovered. This dude's a fucking freak, okay? Listen, I'm all for fucking in the field. I'm all for fucking in the dressing room, right? I'm all for fucking in the porta potty at fucking Soundset in 2014. Listen, bro, I'm all for that shit, right? But goddamn. Like, there's specific times where you fucking do this, okay? Like, let's take Soundset, for example. You go when the headliner is on, because everybody's going to be in there, right? And you try to find the porta potty that's the farthest one away that nobody's going to fucking go to. You just go in there, bro. Fucking bang it out real quick. Listen, I know how horny you guys are at those concerts. I've been there, okay? I've not been the horny, but I've been to concerts where some of you people are fucking weirdos. You're all sweaty, fucking making out with each other in the fucking crowd right in front of me, right? And then you get mad at me when your girl backs up and starts grinding on my dick. Like, bro, back the fuck up, okay? I just witnessed you two fucking making out for the last 7 minutes, right? And your girlfriend just backed up on me, bro. I'm finna steal your bitch. Take her to the porta potty. I don't give a fuck. No, okay? Listen, you got me all riled up because I've been watching you two, right? I feel like this is going to be disgusting, but it makes me feel like the cameraman in the back of the corner, in the corner, while somebody's shooting a porno, right? Mia Khalifa and fucking Johnny Sins is going at it. I'm the fucking, like, the boom mic guy right behind the cameraman and the director. That's why I'm, and I'm just dick in hand, just beating my meat, all right? So, bro, if she bumps up on me, best believe I'm going to go finish the business, right? Because obviously, you're not waiting till she can't wait till you guys get home, right? And she, bro, you're ugly, okay? It's not going to fucking happen, right? It's not going to fucking happen. That was a completely made-up story that never actually happened, but, you know, you guys know what I mean. There's a lot of sweaty and horny people at concerts and anime fucking conventions, or just any fucking convention, right? There's a lot of weird fucking horny people always there. But, bro, he's a fucking freak. Gary Ridgway, fucking freak. Now, according to Time Magazine writer Terry McCarthy, Ridgway had an insatiable sexual appetite. His three ex-wives and several old girlfriends reported that Ridgway demanded sex from them several times a day. Oftentimes, he would want to have sex in public areas or in the woods. Ridgway himself admitted to having a fixation with prostitutes with whom he had a love-hate relationship with. He frequently complained about their presence in his neighborhood, but he also took advantages of their services regularly. It's possible that Ridgway was torn between his uncontrollable lusts and his staunch religious beliefs. So, that's going to do it for this episode. Next episode, we're getting into the murders. Yeah, I'm being an asshole. I'm cutting it short, okay? It's fucking 10:54 and I gotta edit for 30 fucking minutes, all right? Think you guys can wait till next Sunday. All right, I love you. I do, okay? But I think we can wait a little bit. Plus, I don't know. Yeah, it's fun to make you guys suffer. Give you guys a little bit of an edge, right? Yeah, I don't fucking know, bro. I don't know, okay? I don't know what I was trying to say. It was going somewhere, and it fucking flew out my brain, right? Can't help it. A lot of wind goes through that bitch. I'm being so serious. A lot of wind goes right through my head, right? I'm kind of a ditz, but it's all right. So, what do we got going on this week? Obviously, next Serial Killer Sunday is going to be Gary Ridgway Part 2, whoop-de-doo, right? But what else? I'm trying to think. Branch Davidians Part 2 coming out tomorrow, right? Coming out tomorrow night. And then Tuesday we have Tuesday horror movie breakdown. I watched Late Night with the Devil. Great fucking movie. I can't wait to break that down for you guys. It is so fucking sick. I love that movie. Wednesday, we are going to do normal short Reddit horror story, and then Friday, possibly, might bring back Creepy Encounters. But who knows, right? I don't fucking know. So, and then Saturday we will bring back with, I got to figure out anew what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do on this Saturday. Might be Roanoke. Might be something else. I don't fucking know. We'll figure it out. Might be a true crime case on something. Fuck. I don't know. So, whatever. We're rolling with it. We're just chugging along. We're like a little steamboat rolling down the Mississippi River in the heart of Louisiana. Just fucking cruising. Hanging out. Gambling. Right? Gambling on those fucking ferries. That's all we're going to do. We're going to just cruise through this week. So, remember, stay frosty, stay foxy. Most importantly, the most important thing on this planet, stay safe, you beautiful peacocks. I love y'all. Deuces.